This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. This week, election officials in San Bernardino County, California, said they plan to defy a recent instruction from the Secretary of State. The state had forbidden the use of touchscreen voting machines in 10 counties. The state said the machines were not secure, open to being hacked. But San Bernardino County said, we're going to go use them anyhow. There's a groundswell of criticism against using electronic voting machines, the same ones that have been used to tally some of the primary voting this season, including California. So how well do the systems perform? How reliable are they? Are they hackable? Joining me now to talk about electronic voting is Avi Rubin. He's professor of computer science and the technical director of the Information Security Institute at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, Maryland, and he joins us by phone from there. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you. Good afternoon.
Last July, you became sort of a lightning rod for dissatisfaction with the electronic voting machines when you and your colleagues at Johns Hopkins and Rice published a scathing analysis of the shortcomings of voting machines, especially those made by Diebold Company. Have you changed your mind at all?
Oh, not at all. I think there have been several follow-on studies to ours that have shown even worse problems than we found in the Diebold machines. And what's disappointing is that the other manufacturers are not forthcoming with the code in their systems because, you know, I'm often asked, are the other manufacturers as bad as Diebold? And I have to say, I don't know. I have not had an opportunity to evaluate them, and they don't seem to let anybody look at them.
When you say as bad as, what do you mean? What is bad?
So we looked at the code. That's the software that's running inside of the Diebold voting machine, and we found what I would describe as very, very poor programming, all kinds of design flaws, and incorrect use of cryptography, for example, when they were encrypting things that needed to be protected inside the machine. They used broken ciphers, and they used them in bad modes. And, you know, basically I felt like, you know, an English professor would look at a manuscript and could tell it wasn't written well, and a computer scientist can look at a program and tell it wasn't written well by someone with experience and skill, and that's what we found. And that concerned us because these are actual machines that are deployed in the field and working to count our votes.
Are you troubled that the San Bernardino County folks are not going to do away with their machines?
Yeah, I mean, I think these machines are bad. They're insecure. They're unauditable. And, you know, the Secretary of State had a panel who studied the issue. They held hearings, and they concluded that unanimously that those machines should be decertified. And then the Secretary of State gave a directive saying that nobody was going to vote on a machine without a paper trail under his watch. And then now one of the counties is suing him and coming out and saying that they're going to defy this. And I think that's very disappointing.
Is it possible for electronic voting machines to be made secure?
Well, it depends what you mean by electronic voting machines. Do I think that the process should be fully mechanical or just paper? I don't think that's necessary. I think we can utilize things that are good about technology, like the kind of interfaces that people like, while still having auditable and secure elections. And the way I would do it, for example, is imagine if you changed the model, if we could start over and design a touchscreen ballot printing machine that would be just like the touchscreen voting machines, only instead of counting votes, it would print ballots. So you would have the nice interface that you could push buttons on, and blind people could have headphones. It would be exactly the same interface that we have today with the electronic machines, but all it would do would be print out a ballot that the voter could look at and verify that their choices were marked correctly, and then they could do something with it, like put it in an optical scanner or even put it into a ballot box and have them counted by hand, but separate out the vote casting from the vote counting. And then if the machine is built in securely, it doesn't matter, because if the voter notices that the ballot does not have the right choices on it, they will destroy it or void it or whatever the procedure will be, and then do it again. And so what you do is you remove reliance on the vendor of the electronic machine from the process.
Mm-hmm. So you eliminate the possibility of hacking the machine also.
Yeah. I mean, one of the concerns that I have is that the manufacturer of the voting machines with today's machines, if they wanted to, could predetermine the outcome of the election. And I want to say, let's build systems so that you don't have to trust the manufacturer or the vendor, because in the system I described a minute ago where it prints out a paper ballot, if they were trying to cheat, then the voters would notice that when the ballots were not printed correctly. And there's a lot of research that's needed into the human factors of this and into the procedures that would be needed, but I don't think it's an insurmountable task. And I think the rush we had to unverifiable electronic voting is something we're going to pay for and that we're paying for now.
Mm-hmm. I guess one might especially be concerned since the head of Diebold is a great contributor to the Republican Party. And he's even quoted as saying, we're going to deliver you the vote?
Is that
a real quote?
It is a real quote. He said he was determined to deliver Ohio. He has, of course, regretted that comment. And it brings to bear the question that, you know, should we have an environment where people can build machines that are going to count the votes in an unauditable fashion, and as soon as you see any kind of partisanship on the part of the person building the machine, the natural question to ask is, should we ever have to trust a machine that's programmed by a person with the outcome of an election? And I think we can build voting technology without having to trust them. And then, you know, the person building the machine can have whatever advocacy they want. If you don't have to trust the equipment, then it doesn't matter.
Well, what's to stop someone who builds for a machine from putting a time worm in there that would, you know, activate after the machine's closed and then change all the numbers?
Yeah, I think there are many, many different things that they could do, and that is one of them. Solutions to that have been suggested of not having any clocks in there, so that the machines would behave the same in test mode as when they're not in test mode. But I think what we need is a fundamental overhaul of the design of our voting technology, because whoever builds these things has the control to say what the outcome is. You know, if I'm going to write a program, I can say, well, I'm going to count the voters' votes, or I'm going to ignore them, and I'm just going to print out whatever I want. And the concern I have is that we are going down the path of deploying voting machines that are not auditable. So you cannot perform an audit and say, what really happened in this election? You can't perform a recount because there's no paper in the system, and there's nothing to say that the person who built the machine didn't just predetermine what the outcome would be.
And we've also had other people tell us that it's not just the machine, but it's having the mechanism and sufficiently trained people at the polling stations to take care of these machines.
Well, that's definitely part of the picture. I served as an election judge in the March primary, and I saw that the process and the procedures around these are very, very important. And the more reliance you have on computers, the more complicated the procedures have to be, because you have to overcome this terrible threat that somebody will tamper with the machine or that the manufacturer has rigged it. And there are some procedures in place that are very good at catching certain things, like if votes suddenly start appearing throughout the day on the machines, that would be noticed, because one of the procedures is to count the people coming in and voting and to count the number of votes that are being cast. But if those votes are actually just being changed from one candidate to another, there's no procedure in the world that's going to catch that, except for maybe suspicion of it when the exit polls don't match.
Mm-hmm. And what other things did you notice that made you change your mind about what really is the problem, what you hadn't suspected?
I'm sorry?
When you were sitting there in the polling place observing, did you change your mind about what really could go wrong and things that...
I didn't really change my mind about anything. What happened was, having experienced the actual election, I saw that there were certain threats that I was worried about before that weren't really going to be threats, like somebody adding a whole lot of votes in our particular precinct. But I saw other things that made me even more concerned. I hadn't realized just how vulnerable the data in the machines is when at the end of the day all of the memory cards are taken out of all of the voting machines and put into one machine. And, you know, that machine could rewrite those memory cards. It could give whatever result that it wants. And so the experience really focused me on actual real-world threats, whereas before I think these threats were based more on just looking at the code in the machine and not the actual election day procedure. But after having served as a poll worker and having analyzed the Diebold code, I'm even more weary of fully electronic voting, and I think we need to have paper trails.
Are we going to be able to have something of confidence, voting machines of confidence, by November of this election?
Well, it's going to be very hard to have it by November. I think that California is taking the right approach, which is to say, let's figure out how to retrofit voter verifiable paper onto these machines. You know, a lot of precincts, or pretty much all the precincts, already have optical scanners they use to count absentee ballots, which are filled out on optical scan forms. And I think we could make an effort to try to produce as many of those as possible and get as many optical scan readers as possible, because that technology right there has the auditability feature that I like and has the ability to have recounts done. You know, in Florida, we had, you know, everybody complained about hanging chads But I was surprised to find out that some people think the solution is to just get rid of all the ballots. And you won't have any hanging chads, but you also won't have any ballots at all.
Let's see if we can get a phone call or two in here. Let's go to Jeff and was it Megalia? Jeff?
That's correct. I was just calling in response to what your guest was saying about the printoutable slips that could either be scanned or counted by hand. And I really like that idea. And it seems like, you know, we have lottery systems and all kinds of printout systems that have millions of dollars relying on them, and they count on that kind of system. Mm-hmm. But what I worry about is, what about somebody doing multiple printouts and the vote being counted, you know, in numerous fashions?
Do you vote on a new machine in California there?
What's that?
Do you vote on a touchscreen computer in California?
No, I'm afraid where I live in the country here a little bit, we just aren't that sophisticated yet. But
Avi?
I hope to be soon.
Well, I think that that's a valid concern, and when we build a system, we have to take that into account. So what I think is, for example, you have a control in place where the ballot printing machine prints out a paper ballot, and you have to take that maybe via a poll worker over to a scanning machine, and you put it in, and when that piece of paper is read in, you voted, and then you have to leave. For any system, you have to put in controls in place to control cheating. But I'm a lot less worried about a system where here and there a voter manages to figure out how to vote twice than I am about a system where some one person can predetermine the output of all of these electronic machines.
Do you think that people are heeding your warning, or are you just being looked at as...
Oh, I think they definitely are. I mean, the press has paid a lot of attention to this. I've been meeting with politicians. I've been invited almost every week to Washington to meet with congressional staffers, and I may be meeting a U.S. senator next week. So there's definitely, I think, a lot of concern for this on both parties because, you know, Republicans and Democrats both need to get elected, and the people that are sitting in Congress are there because they got elected. And if we cannot have confidence in our voting mechanisms, then our whole democracy is at risk. And I think a lot of people realize that, and they want to do the right thing.
What about something as simple as rebooting a crashed voting machine? Are people at the polling places able to do that now?
It depends. You have various levels of sophistication, and you know the reliability problems and the operational problems are ones that are of a big concern for electronic systems. My particular concern has always been security. That's my area of research, and I think we need to look at both of them. For any equipment, we need to have something that works. And we had a breakdown in California in March because of the things that program the smart cards that people use to vote not working properly, and that created a bottleneck where people couldn't vote. I think that is definitely a drawback of using computerized technology. That is probably one that's easier to overcome than the security problems of not having a paper audit trail.
Mm. So you think time is right now to pay attention to all of this?
Absolutely. I think we should be scrambling really hard to try to figure out what to do to take whatever we have, wherever we have it, and make it more auditable.
Do you think that we're going to be using these machines, though? Can these machines be upgraded?
Well, you know, in many places, I've been convinced, talking to election officials and other people, that in many places we don't have a choice. You know, I would love to say throw out all the direct recording electronic voting machines, just throw them out the window and bring paper, go to Kinko's and bring paper stacks of ballots. But I don't know if that's realistic, and I think it's not in some places. And I think we've kind of dug ourselves a big hole in many places. Now, we're only talking 30% of the people who will be voting on electronic, which means 70% will be voting on more traditional means,
yeah,
and most of which are auditable. But I still think, you know, 30% is a very, very large number.
Certainly an election like we had last time.
That's right.
All right, Dr. Rubin, thank you very much for joining us this hour.
Thanks for having me.
Avi Rubin, Professor of Computer Science and Technology, Director of Information Studies Security Institute at Johns Hopkins. We're going to take a break and talk about a new treatment that zaps fat. Well, at least in mice it does. So we'll see how it works and perhaps down the road in people. Stay with us.